that Cuba, one of the countries sanctioned by the United States and blockaded by the United States, is actually an observer state to the Eurasian Economic Forum and already has extensive trade deals and investment deals with both Russia and China, sort of their two traditional trading partners. So I believe that Cuba will certainly play a huge part in helping to construct this new financial world order in across Latin America. But we also can't forget, the role of Venezuela. Venezuela has traditionally been a key pillar in the world production of gas and oil, even despite the mass U.S. sanctions that have been imposed on the country. It continues to participate. It continues to have an important role in OPEC.
Russia-Iran economic cooperation is not limited to bilateral ties. Russia is a founding member of the Eurasian Economic Union, which includes post-Soviet states located in Eurasia. A free trade agreement between Iran and the Eurasian Economic Union came into force in October 2019. That means that Iran and other member states and trading partners, which include China, will have the opportunity to enjoy free business and trade without the interference of the U.S. and its Western allies.
روسیه و سایر کشورهای عضو اتحادیه طبیعتاً اهمیت این اتحادیه و توسعه روابط ما با اون خودش رو بیشتر بروز و ظهور
The sticking point though is the integration of the financial systems of respective countries. Russia has created its own payment system for electronic fund transfers called MIR.
Ми підготувалися по фінансовій системі, ми створили свою систему аналог SWIFT. Система передачи финансовых сообщений. У нас создана своя система платежных карт, виза, вместо визы и мастер-карт. У нас работает карта МИР. Поэтому в этой части мы подготовили финансовую инфраструктуру, и она сейчас работает.
China's UnionPay system, which is becoming popular in Asian states, has become the largest card payment processing organization. But Chinese banks and its banking systems have been cautious in their ties with Russia over fears of sanctions. But Russia and Iran are turbocharging mutual settlements in their national currencies to the highest possible level. Iran is also set to accept Russia's MIR card payments, which means that the countries will be connecting their banks to the system for transfer of financial messages, or SPFS, the Russian equivalent to SWIFT. Moscow is eyeing crypto and digital currencies already, and Beijing is dead set on setting up the digital yuan to work around SWIFT, something that it has enacted already and has been used in many countries or provinces in China.
In this program, we have covered how Russia and Iran have paved the way for other countries, in particular on how to evade illegal sanctions that are applied by the U.S. to counter U.S.'s imperialistic and hegemonic aspirations. This is in line with the shift in the new financial world order. Now Iran has a new proposal, which would speed things up to that end. Iran has approached the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, with a proposal to create a new single currency. This would be used for carrying out trade among the members of the Eurasian bloc that includes China, India, and Russia, three of the largest emerging economies of the world. This would be another way to counter the increasing weaponization of the U.S. dollar, from sanctions to the dollar-denominated financial system. Tehran's proposal came during the time when the U.S. and its Western allies were announcing economic sanctions against Russia over its military conflict with Ukraine. Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Economic Diplomacy, Mehdi Safari, earlier this month told the media that the proposal was sent to the SCO nearly 2 months ago. Iran hopes that the Eurasian bloc that it views as a concert of non-Western great powers will respond to the constantly changing geopolitical landscape and accept its proposal in due course. For Iran and Russia, this new currency will have immediate benefits. The two countries will be able to circumvent illegal Western sanctions to trade more openly with their SCO partner countries. Let's not forget, the SCO accounts for 44% of the world population and about a quarter of the global GDP. But do the benefits or gains outweigh the risks for other SCO members that are not the target of U.S. sanctions? Why should they gamble on this new currency for anyways? According to an estimate, the SCO countries lose approximately 10 to 20 billion U.S. dollars annually only on transaction and conversion charges. Still confused about why Iran has proposed the adoption of a new currency? Well, this should clear up any ambiguities for you. While many of the SCO countries have already initiated trading in local currencies with each other and in the process minimizing the use of the US dollar as the currency of exchange, these transactions are mostly bilateral in nature. There's a need for either a common currency or a common payment platform that could automatically be used by each of the SCO members while trading with each other. That does it for this section of the program.
There's a new world order, and by default, a new financial order is also taking shape. We've said that time and again. But that is driven by countries who are working against the U.S. and Western hold on the world financial system, who have exercised various methods to control these countries, either through sanctions or otherwise. And perhaps this momentum is too fast for the U.S. to catch up to, which is good in one way, but bad in another way, because a political and military power like the U.S. is not going to give up its super status that easily. And we may see some negative reactions coming from that. That does for this edition of the program. From Mikhail Tarvay, it's goodbye until next time.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا.
And those who, when reminded of the verses of their Lord, do not fall upon them deaf and blind.
Dear listeners, we have reached the 73rd verse of Surah Al-Furqan. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. And those who, when admonished with the signs of their Lord, do not fall down thereat deaf and blind. In the previous programs, we have been discussing the different attributes of Ibadur Rahman, the true servants of the Lord, or the slaves of the Beneficent. Acts of worship and having insight are attributes of the servant of the Beneficent. They knowingly follow religion, and this noble verse mentions another attribute of theirs, which is to have an ear that can hear truly, an eye that can see at the time facing with Allah's revelations. This is the 11th attribute of the servants of the Almighty Allah. So the verse says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. And those who, when admonished with the signs of their Lord, لَمْ يَخِرُوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. Do not fall down thereat deaf and blind. Certainly, it does not refer to the deed of the pagans, because they do not even pay attention to Allah's verses. But this is referring to the hypocrites, or those who are apparently Muslims, but who are blindly and deafly following Allah's verses. So this verse is saying that these servants of the Beneficent do not fall down deaf and blind. They are completely watching and waiting for the commandments of their Lord. But the hypocrites or apparent Muslims neither understand the reality of the verses and neither find the depth of the verses. They do not know Allah's purpose, nor they think about it, nor do they practically use it through inspiration in their lives. Of course, one cannot pave the path of Allah blindly and deafly. Before anything, an ear that hears and an eye that can see are needed for this journey. One needs an eye that can see inwardly and deeply, and an ear that is sensitive. If we think correctly, we see that the damage of this group who are blind and deaf is not less than the damage of the enemies who knowingly are damaging the foundation of the religion of truth. And this is sometimes more, because they are apparent Muslims, they're hypocrites. But the attribute of the servants of the Beneficent is that they are not deaf and not blind.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So this verse was emphasizing the importance of not being deaf and blind. Sometimes you are probably following the signs of your Lord, but you're not correctly listening. You're not deeply seeing. Basically, conscious perception and following of the religion is the main source of resistance and forbearance. And for those who have blind eyes and deaf ears, this can easily deceive them. They can be deviated from the main path by distorting religion. They can be led to paganism and disbelief, and they can be turned against the religion itself. They are tools and somehow puppies in the hands of the foes. They are the best victims the devils are looking for. But only insightful believers who see and listen carefully may remain stable. They are not the ones to become puppies of this and that person. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about the commentary of this verse, he said, "The purpose is the insightful ones that are not skeptic." So the true servants of the Lord consciously follow the commandments of their Lord. And even if they do not know the reason behind this and that order and commandment, they know that it is good for themselves both in this world and the other. And this means that they are not blind, even though they might not know some of the reasons behind some of the orders of their Lord. And this is the heart of servitude. This is the meaning of servitude. That is why they are called Ibadur Rahman, the servants of the Beneficent. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All the calculations that they had done to destroy the revolution, all of them, with all the experience, they've looked at patterns of people's behavior, of politicians' behaviors, of put everything there to make this revolution falter, and they have failed. Like the attempt to supposedly rescue what they call the American hostages in the Islamic Republic those many years ago, soon after the success of the Islamic Revolution. They planned it from the Persian Gulf. Everything was planned out, including weather patterns. They had all... There was nothing that was going to get in the way, especially nothing of that magnitude. But the sand is under God's control. The wind is under God's control. A sandstorm forms that was unpredictable. The whole operation, without one gunshot from the Revolutionary Guards or anyone, was put an end to. God is in charge. And this is what we as Muslimin generally fail to understand. And if anyone understands it and accepts it and acts based on it, they will be part of the movement of Islam, which is invincible. That's why Imam Khomeini may go, but his movement continues. Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah protect him and give him a long life until the coming of the Imam. But we don't know, there's no guarantee. If God wants his life to end before the coming of the Imam, he may go. But this movement will continue. Because that is what God has promised. That is what God has told us he has willed. كَتَبَ اللَّهِ لَأَغْلَبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. This is a belief, if you believe in, nothing in the world can create fear in your heart. Iran was not meant to stay at the expense of Islam losing. All of Iran be sacrificed for Islam. Islam said this is the ruling. The world can do whatever it wants. That is Khomeini. That's what, and Khomeini became Khomeini because of this, because of Tawheed. It's not about Khomeini, it's about Islam. It's about the Quran. It's about Tawheed that the Quran repeatedly mentions, and we call ourselves Muslim. We say we have submitted to Islam, yet we are mushrik. If we were Muslim, as the Quran says, no one can stand against you. No one. And that's why Islam has survived so far. I want to remind us of these truths because we need them. This is what we stand for, we should stand for. And if Allah gives us life, we will continue to stand by these and live by these principles. Whoever decides otherwise, they can do whatever they want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given His guidance. We as Muslimin forget this. And so we drift away. We deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We deviate from the path of the Ahlul Bayt. We deviate from the path of the Imam of our time. We have got to make sure that we not only understand Tawheed, we live by it. And the way to live by it is where there's a fork in the path. You either go based on what God says, or you want to save your skin based on your desire, your whim, your want to live longer. Where God didn't say, I want you to save your life. Imam al-Hussein said, all of this be sacrificed for Allah. Didn't he have a life to save? Didn't he have a family to save? We're afraid of losing this. A believer has no fear of what will come their way. Corona or otherwise. The US government, the FBI, the CIA, or otherwise. This is what we live by. This is what I live by. This is what the Quran says. If anybody wants to live by something else, this is what I live by. This is what we find in the Quran. If you want to convince me to change this way, this path, show me from the Quran where it says something other than this. Don't give me any other explanation from anyone else. It doesn't matter. The Quran has said this. The Quran has said, لَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. It says in Surah Al-Ahzab, when the believers see the enemies coming their way to kill them, to incarcerate them, to hurt them, to do whatever, they say that's what God and His Messenger promised us. That will happen to you. And they say, God and His Messenger were telling the truth. And that, seeing the enemies come to incarcerate them, to kill them, increases their iman, not fear. When they see them coming to hurt them, they get stronger in their iman. That's what the Quran says. That's what I'm going to live by, inshallah, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. If anybody else thinks otherwise, everybody's got their own choice. Everyone can do what they think is right. Look at what, if you're looking for what the Quran says, this is what it says. Don't be afraid of anything. Nothing in this world. الذين, again in Surah Al-Ahzab, الذين يبلغون رسالات الله ويخشونه وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Those who deliver the messages, the missions of God, and they fear Him, and they fear none other than Him. Nothing whatsoever. That's what we have to be. That's what we need to be. The only way that's possible is through Tawheed. He really is the only one in charge. Everyone else that can do whatever, it's bi-idhnillah, with His permission. Nothing. If it's with His permission, just like Imam al-Hussein said, God, this is Your will. إِلَهِ رِضًا بِقَضَائِكْ تَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِكْ لَا مَعْبُودَ سِوَاكْ. I am pleased with what You want. I submit to your will. There is no one worshipped but you. If your will is for them to get me and destroy me, pulverize me, it's your will. And that's good. I welcome it. Ridan biqadaik. I'm pleased with it. I want it. I want what you want. This is the only way a believer can reach that state. Nothing in this world is going to cause them to be afraid. You can threaten them with whatever.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen Ghafur Shakur Wadud Qayyum Ra'uf Sabur Majid. صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
in the limelight.
It is now the duty of international community, including the oil-rich Arab regimes, which bow on the altar of U.S. Zionist devilishness, to awaken from slumber and come forward to help resolve the crisis in Rakhine and provide means for the safe return home of the Rohingya Muslims. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Kayhan, International Staff Writer. This article is published under the heading Rohingya Muslims Await in Vain, End of Nightmare. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. The West may be busy dealing with the war with Russia, into which it has dragged Ukraine, but the far more graver crises in other parts of the world, even though deliberately ignored by the so-called international media, are waiting for resolution. One such crisis, other than the chronic question of Zionist usurped Palestine, where the innocent are murdered at will almost every day by the U.S.-backed Israelis, is the alarming situation of the Rohingya Muslims, both in their homeland Rakhine, from which many have been dislodged, and the million-plus languishing in the refugee camps of Bangladesh. It is indeed the worst human rights catastrophe of the contemporary world, as the UN has acknowledged, but it is either not fully committed to resolve it or is being prevented to do so by the powers that manipulate it. The fact cannot be denied that history's most evil empire, the United States of America, with its policy of devilish deception, political pressures, military threats, and economic terrorism, as is evident by the extraterritorial sanctions on nations refusing to bow to its blackmail, is also involved in the worsening plight of the Rohingyas. The first and foremost cause of the persecution and genocide of the Rohingyas in Myanmar and the reluctance of the UN to seriously press for their repatriation back home is the fact that these people happen to be Muslims. Thus, for the Americans and the Europeans, the repression of aliens of Rohingya Muslims is not a matter of concern, compared to the few thousand from other countries who have crossed borders into neighboring states. It is now almost a decade since the Myanmar military, along with chauvinistic Buddhist monks and the unprincipled politicians feigning to be Democrats, launched the ethnic cleansing of the Rohingya Muslims in Rakhine. Since then, because of the frozen conscience of the world, their situation has sharply deteriorated and resulted in almost the mass migration to Bangladesh, where the million-odd refugees are to, unfortunately, mark their fifth year of homelessness next month, with no prospects for return. According to analysts, despite their deep passion to return home, the Rohingya Muslims in Bangladesh are faced with nothing but bad options. These include the return to the military regime-run resettlement camps with no rights but the risk of getting caught in the middle of brutal vendettas between the Arakan Army and the State Administration Council, whose vague promise of granting some sort of citizenship to the Rohingya Muslims cannot be trusted. The other bad option is to remain in the violence-ridden virtual concentration camps that Bangladesh has built around them in Cox's Bazar. As human beings, it is the desire of every Rohingya Muslim to reside in peace in Rakhine State and to return home with safety and dignity. It is now the duty of the international community, including the oil-rich Arab regimes, which bow on the altar of U.S. Zionist devilishness, to awaken from slumber and come forward to help resolve the crisis in Rakhine and provide means for the safe return home of the Rohingya Muslims.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Well, this is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Viewpoint, and here I am your host. This is Asma. And I'm very pleased to have two very dear guests, Brother Ali and Sheikh Ruhullah. Well, utopia, utopia, utopia. Everybody talks about it. Everyone has an imaginary place in their mind in which everything is just so pitchy and perfect and there is no error and everybody is an angel. Does such a place really exist?
Yeah, should we start with that? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To reach to this answer, it actually requires some introduction and introductory steps to go to say that such a thing exists or does not exist. But we can talk about that. We can talk about this issue that it was among the important issues and concerns of human being from the, let's say...
Ancient ages.
From ancient ages, from the, let's say, scholars of the Greeks till today. And it has been in their works and literature, and it has been seen. But We are all hoping to reach to such a, let's say, utopian government and utopian city.
So now, Sheikh Ruhullah, I would ask you, everybody talks about utopia, and we believe that the promised Imam, Ajalallah Farajah, would come, and that utopia would emerge in some levels. But then, how to achieve that utopia? As citizens of utopia, do we have any responsibilities? Can we help that utopia to be created?
Of course, as much as we could. We have to play our own role. We have to fulfill our responsibilities in regards with the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance, inshallah. So I think that utopia, if it would be established by the Imam, it needs a certain type of, let's say, tools, equipments, and means by which a specific sort of knowledge, specific sort of power that Imam should have, that Imam should has to establish that kind of system, an ideal sort of political system, economic system, social system.
And the most important part of those tools is human beings, the people who are
of course,
living
yeah,
in that
yeah.
society.
The people should support, the people should help. But I think since we believe that the Imams, alayhi salatu wasalam, they have a kind of specific or special sort of knowledge
mm-hmm.
that they receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this knowledge is transmitted from the Prophet to the Imams. So that knowledge, that specific kind of knowledge would help the Imam to establish that sort of system. Otherwise, by this limited, ordinary knowledge that we have, or the leaders have, the kings have nowadays, even the experts or the professionals had, they cannot establish that sort of perfect sort of system.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why Imam is a special kind of figure, a special kind of personality. He's not like other people.
Yes.
That's why we are following the Imams. If the Imams are like other people, then why should we follow them? Why should we actually trust them? And why should we listen to them? Why should we obey them? So since yes. the Imams and the Prophets are special kind of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them, special sort of knowledge, special sort of let's say, capacities, capabilities.
Direct link to God.
Of course, yeah. So that's why they are able to do that, to actually brought a kind of ideal sort of society, ideal sort of
mm-hmm.
place that people will enjoy a better life in this world. So that is as much as it is possible in this physical and material world. Of course, that perfect and idealistic sort of or imaginary sort of utopia that some people might have in their own minds. Of course, that might not be even possible to be made or to be established in this physical world. So Imam will be able to brought a better life to the extent that is possible.
In this world.
In this world, yeah. That's it.
That is applicable to this
yeah.
world.
But of course, that level of life or that kind of systems that he will establish, of course, it is not comparable
with
the
other.
Would
be the utmost
other.
That would be possible
exactly,
in this
exactly.
world.
Exactly. That is something that has never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the other people are not able to do that. So again, that is ideal. That is the super sort of kind of system and the highest level possible. But of course, it has not happened. No other, let's say, people, societies throughout
history has never seen that.
Never seen that, never experienced that. So that's why that is an utopia,
mm-hmm.
of course. Yeah.
So the requirement of that utopia.
In that ideal and utopian society, we are expecting the actually social, economic security as well. As I said, I was talking about security, but economic security is also of importance. Mm-hmm. And people find their economy flourish.
Actually, it does not happen over one night. It's
no,
not just something that miraculously everything is going to change. I guess the people also are going to have such features in them that they are ready to all the changes that is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Look, with the appearance and advent of Imam, people get more matured with Imam's presence, actually.
Mm-hmm.
With the presence of Imam himself, actually, people get mature and reach. And in Hadith, we have, in case they have learned two letters of word of knowledge at the time of appearance of Imam, this will reach to 27. So two out of how many? 27 have been just learned. So the rest will be with come to us with appearance of Imam. So it means that his own appearance is meaningful.
A whole lot of change.
So his own appearance is meaningful. So why we are talking about the economy and organizing the economy of the people, the economy of the world is going to grow. The reason is that Islam actually pays attention to different parts of human being. Not only the material life, but also to the spiritual part of human
exactly.
being. See, so these are of importance. And the last, I think one of the most, let's say, characteristics of Mahdavi utopia is perfection of mind and rationality. Look, in our hadith, in our Islamic sources,
and
from even the Quran.
How does that happen?
Yeah, inshallah, we'll get to that. The intellect has an important role. Look, whatever we are asked as the duty bound, we are asked and we are told that, okay, based on your intellect, based on your understanding, do this and do that. So Allah bestowed you a prophet, a real prophet that comes from the side. Actually, the revelation comes to him, and you have an inside yourself, a prophet inside yourself. So the prophet which is inside yourself is your intellect, is your mind, that you think with that. So intellect understands that with the appearance of this noble existence, all these goodnesses comes to you, then what are all for? Just to get perfected, to reach to this perfection. So we see, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So all these introductions are for us to be a good servant of God. In
exactly.
a utopian city, when everything has been given and every blessing has been actually bestowed and
fulfilled,
then you are asked to be a good servant of God, to do your servitude, to actually be.
There's only one goal after everything.
That's when the mind is getting perfected. Then you know, okay, who deserves to be to be worshipped, and this is only God. And Allah is the one who actually deserves to be perfect. Because He gave you whatever you needed. He gave you all the blessings. He gave you security. He gave you actually dignity. He gave you justice. He gave you whatever was your immediate needs actually are presented.
So all what you mean is that during that time, we are going to have that awareness that the only person who is suitable for worshiping is God.
The result of all these things in the world is just to reach to this point that okay, this is Allah who deserves to be
the worthiest
worshiped.
Of all.
Yeah, because when our mind and intellect gets perfected,
it's going
when
to
our
get wider.
Comes to its highest level, like the infallible people actually reach to this highest level that they understood who deserves to be actually worshipped. We, in our worship, even the believers, in higher levels, the difference is here between the infallible and not infallible people. They actually understood in the highest sense of it that Allah is the one who deserves to be worshipped. But ordinary people and believers have some way out to reach to that point.
Yes, very true. So now, just the point that you mentioned, but I'm going to ask Sheikh Ruhollah about how does that happen? How this readiness happens? I mean, people wake up and everything is solved?
Mm-hmm. You mean that for the people that now we have them, what will be happening for these
yes,
people?
Yes, what happens to them?
Mm-hmm. You know, when they see, when the Imam reappears, So there are certain things that are mentioned in riwayat and hadith that's happening when the imam reappears. But we are not going to talk about this kind of things. But what is going to be established, I mean, the system that is going to be established by the imam, that is important. And since, as it was rightly mentioned by Brother Alavian, that imam is infallible, so an infallible person make no mistake. So once you make no mistake, so you will bring us the best possible kind of system or lifestyle, or let's say you can provide us with the best possible sort of society. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's a kind of ideal society that the imam will brought us with. Then
that's the part that goes for the leader.
Of course, yeah. Yeah,
that is for the leader. Now the citizens.
Yeah, when it comes to the people, and the people also, you see, are in need of such kind of leaders. So the leader has the main role to guide the people, to lead the people, to tell the people and order the people what to do, what not to do. What is the role of the people? So we do not know now our roles. So the imam will tell us at that time that, okay, so your responsibility is this, this society's responsibility to this community should do that, so that kind of class of people or category of the people should do such and such. So these are the things that will be ordered by the imam, and the people should follow the imam, and finally we will have the result of this obedience mm-hmm. of the imam.
So this is what happened. That's it. Thank you. It was such a nice session. I enjoyed it a lot. We talked about utopia, and inshallah, in immediate future, we would see a day in which the promised imam would come and reappear. Inshallah. And in that society ruled by him, there would be justice flourishing everywhere, and there would be no poverty, and all the great ideals of Islamic world would be fulfilled. Thank you for listening.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We started in a previous episode talking about the rights of non-Muslims in an Islamic state. And obviously, when we say an Islamic state, we mean that a country or a system that is run by the Islamic laws, not just by name. Because we have many countries in this world who claim to be Muslims, and they might be, I don't know, sometimes they consider themselves to be the Kaaba of Muslims, but yet they violate every human right in the book. So we're not talking about those ones. We're talking about a country that applies Islamic law, okay? If it does not exist now, let's say hypothetically, because we want to see what the Islamic text say about the rights of non-Muslims. Before we can dive into this topic of the rights of non-Muslims in an Islamic state, we have to look at Islam and how it defines people who are non-Muslims. And we're not talking about dividing them or defining them based on the religions like Christians or Jews or atheists. No, that's not an Islamic category. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran looks at all these people and He calls them Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. And they are religions. So a religion is not what the Islamic government goes by. Rather than, it defines people into categories. The first category that Islam considers and talks about is what we call Ahlul Dhimmah. Ahlul Dhimmah, the term, a lot of people sometimes they misinterpret that term or they define it in a wrong way. Ahlul Dhimmah in Arabic, it means those who are promised and given safety under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As we say, fi dhimmatillah and fi dhimmatin nabi alayhi as-salatu wa salam. So this is the first category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them their rights. So if you look at jurisprudence, you will find many rulings, many laws dealing with people of ahlul dhimma, the people who are under the protection of an Islamic law or an Islamic state. So these people, they have the absolute right to do whatever they want. Obviously, I mean, not attacking the Muslims, not harming the Muslims, not doing anything towards the Muslims. But they can live under an Islamic state. And since they promised and they've been given security,